it was God in his time that brought them to brought them together to discover their own fullness in time. This sermon is about time. Now, last week, if you were here for the evening message, Jeff's sermon was titled, A Moment in Time. I think the Lord is working on us here. Because we didn't collaborate at all on this. And Daryl Senior's sermon last week during the morning service focused on fasting. And he said that we are expected, according to the Bible, we are expected to give, we are expected to pray, we are expected to fast. Again, his sermon was on fasting. We've had a program going on here to get the roof fixed. Well, the roof is fixed, but the bills aren't paid. So the Lord may be telling us something there that we need to really work for him and to give. And today's sermon is focused on time, how we spend our time. What do we do with our time? Do we pray as we should? Again, it's titled, In His Time. Remember that the Word of God and prayer are inseparable. Okay, so I told you that it's going to be about time. In His time. Well, what is time? Philosophers have in the past considered time to be cyclical. It's an unending circle. And if you look at it in the context of having a spring, a summer, a fall, and a winter, you could conclude that time goes round and round. The movement of one heavenly body in relation to another defines time in a general sense. A year is the revolution of the earth around the sun. A month, originally, was the revolution of the moon around the earth. And a day is the rotation of the earth on its axis in relation to the sun. And I'm sure you've heard it said that if we don't learn from our mistakes of the past, we are destined to make the same mistakes again. Well, with that kind of thought, it would again indicate that time goes in a cyclical pattern, round and round. Our clocks, even this wristwatch that Ted gave me, they're fashioned in the pattern of a circle, with the hour hand doing two circles to give us 24 hours in our day. But the Bible doesn't fall into that, because the Bible is truth. The Bible tells us that time is linear. It moves on in a never reoccurring fashion. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 6 tells us, never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. And 1 Peter 1:17 tells us to conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon earth. Man's stay on earth, being affected by time, is a linear event, and it will never occur again. Okay, so now we know what time is. Well, what's matter? According to the Bible, matter is a time-limited substance. It has a beginning, and it will have an end. Genesis 1:1 tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in Matthew 24, verse 35, Jesus tells us heaven and earth will pass away. The material universe, what was created in the beginning, will be removed. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 26 through 28, states at that time His voice shook the earth, but now He has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. This passage lays it out quite clear. Time is dependent on the material universe, that which can be shaken, and is measured by the passing events that happen in our universe. Time began with the creation of the universe when His voice shook the earth. Time will end with the removal of the universe. But we are going to receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It is not named now. If God were made of matter, He would not be an eternal being, because He would be affected by time. God is not affected by time. He is the great I Am. Always has been. Always will be. But we are affected by time. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18 tells us, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Every time man improves upon the power of a telescope to see new solar systems and galaxies and discover new stars, he is still seeing things that will pass away. Flesh and blood, that which is material, cannot enter into this realm, the realm that cannot be shaken. So now we understand a little bit about time. We understand somewhat about matter. So we, as flesh and blood, how do we spend our time? Does it matter? I think it does. The teaching of the Bible concerning time, matter, and God is not contradictory. God, He is without beginning and end. When He created the physical universe, time began, and with the removal of the universe, time will end. And so now we have that foundation. Do you spend enough time in prayer? You know, that is how we have access to God. Unlimited access. Prayer is a privilege. It's how we have access. We can listen to God, unlimited access. We can listen to Him through the reading of the Word. Just how do you spend your time? How do you spend your time with God? With a sigh, a husband puts down the suitcases as they reached the train station, as he saw the train that they were trying to catch departing, turns to his wife, "Sarah, if you hadn't taken so long to pack, we could have been on that train." "I know," his wife replied, "but if you hadn't rushed me so, we wouldn't have to wait so long for the next one." We must be good stewards of time, the time that we have here on earth. We must develop an effective prayer life. The most important thing that I can say about prayer is summed up with the Nike advertisements that say, "Just do it." Once there was a man who was hired by a rural county down south to paint white lines along a highway. The first day he painted 10 miles. His boss was really impressed, and he promised him a raise if he could keep up that pace. But the next day, he was only able to paint 5 miles. And the third day, only 1 mile. He was fired. Can you believe that? As he walked away, he muttered, "It wasn't my fault. I kept getting further away from the camp." But lots of folks in their Christian life, they start out with lots of power, lots of power. But as time goes on, they keep getting further and further away from the power source. Who's your source of power? That's why prayer and Bible reading are so essential in our lives. That gets me to the heart of the matter here. Do you have a daily appointment with God? Faithful, sincere prayer keeps us in touch with the God of all grace and the source of all power. If we want to experience the fullness of His power for abundant living, the first thing we must do is establish a daily appointment to meet with God. Some call this their quiet time. Some call it their devotional time. Others, their upper room of closet time. Whatever you call it, it needs to be yours and God's time together. When you have an appointment with someone, you do at least 4 things. First, you check your schedule. You find a time that is mutually convenient for you to meet. You decide on a suitable place that's agreeable to both of you, and then you allow enough time in your schedule for the business at hand. Don't you do that when you meet with someone? This is exactly what you must do with God. With one notable exception. With Him, we can avoid some of the great hassles, like finding time. Place that is mutually agreeable. God is always available to us. Anytime, any place. So that makes it easy for us. He is available, but we need to make the time in our lives to have Him on our daily planner. Let's think about this appointment that we need to make. We need to schedule it. Every day. Well, what time do you schedule? We must set a definite time to meet with the Lord each day. And if we don't make time for God, we won't take time to be with Him. It needs to be a time that we can faithfully commit ourselves to keep. No one else knows your schedule. So no one else can tell you when to pray. But it needs to be a time when distractions are at a minimum. A time that is both good for you and those around you. Now, with 24 hours in a day, we can surely find time that is suitable for our schedule. There's a poem that goes like this. It says, "Pray in the early morning for grace throughout the day. We know not what temptations and trials may cross our way. Pray in the gladsome noontide, when the day is at its best. Pray when the night overtakes thee, to him who giveth rest. Pray in the silent midnight, if wakeful hours be thine. Pray for a heart submissive that never will repine. Pray in the hour of sorrow. Pray in the hour of grief. In coming to the Father, thy soul shall find relief. Pray when the sun shines brightest, thy path with roses strewn. Pray that thy heart be ever with the Savior's kept in tune. Pray when the dark day cometh and clouds hang overhead. In the secret of his presence, thy soul hath not to dread. Pray for the Father's guidance in all thy work and ways. So shall thy days be fruitful, thy life be full of praise. Living in touch with Jesus, keeping our own hearts right, others will be attracted from darkness into light." Let prayer be the key of the day and the bolt of the night. In the morning, prayer is the key that opens us up to us the rich treasures of God's grace and blessing. In the evening, it is the bolt that shuts us up under his protection and safeguard. When our day is thus hemmed with prayer, it is not likely to unravel. While it is true we need to go through the day with God, we also need an extended time with him. What time is best for this appointment with him? Well, let's look at what the Bible says. Mark 1, verse 35 says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Luke 4, verse 42 tells us, "At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place." Psalm 57, verse 8 tells us, "Awake, my soul, awake, harp and lyre, I will awaken the dawn." Psalm 5, verse 3 says, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation." And Psalm 119, verse 147 says, "I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word." Both Jesus and the psalmist here chose the early morning hour. In the morning hour, the mind is fresh at its absolute best. It is free from distraction. You can concentrate on God. Besides, when the early morning hours are spent in prayer, the whole day is sanctified and power is obtained for overcoming that day's temptations. We do read, though, in the Gospels that Christ sometimes chose to pray during the late evening, occasionally spending the entire night in prayer. Luke 6, verse 12 tells us, "One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God." The reason he spent the night praying was the big decision and choices to be made the next day. Verse 13 tells us, "When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles." And we find in Matthew 14, verses 22 through 23, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat, go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone." After this time of prayer, Jesus came out walking on the water. out to the disciples' boat, calming the wind. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus spent the night before his arrest and subsequent crucifixion in prayer. The psalmist also mentions in Psalm 119, verse 148, "My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises." In Acts 16, verse 25, we find Paul and Silas in prison. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So if you're a night person, maybe this is the best time for you. Mothers of young children, they may find that during the children's nap time is the best time for them to pray. Others may use their lunch hour, go to a park or to a private place and spend time alone with God. It's essential that you set a time. Yet be careful. Be careful that you don't become so legalistic about it that you suffer severe or extended guilt if you miss it. Schedule it every day and make time for it. So just, where do you go? What's the place? What's the place that you spend this extended period of time with God? Well, Jesus chose lonely places, quiet places, secluded places, away from crowds, to retreat for prayer. And he taught us in Matthew 6, verse 6, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." We must find a private place. Jesus' own inner room was oftentimes the great outdoors. Ours may simply be a place of privacy where we can be alone with God. Away from phones, that would mean turning your cell phones off. Away from people. Away from noise. Away from other distractions. A place where we can shut the door of our heart. We need a quiet place for our quiet time. Whoever would hear the sound of God's voice must first shut out the distracting noises that are less important, less meaningful, the less eternal activities. Those things that continually and persistently crowd in. Those things that cunningly attempt to dominate our lives every day. The choice of a proper place can go a long way in helping us. In this isolated place, with our minds insulated from distractions, we can pour our hearts out to Him. Schedule it every day. Make time for it in your private place. Prayer is a matter between our Father and us. It is communion with the holiest. It is conversation with our Father. A heart-to-heart visit with our dearest friend. Our concerned plea to our greatest helper. In this isolated place, with our minds insulated from distractions, we can pour our hearts to Him. The last thing we need to do, though, is to schedule sufficient time to really meet God, to not feel rushed or hurried in our time with Him. The more time you spend with a person, the better you know Him. This is certainly true of knowing God. Our level of intimacy is determined by the time we spend in His presence. Let us make a habit of giving much time to this matter of prayer. You may want to start with just 20 or 30 minutes each day. The important thing is that you start. If you're not currently in a prayer appointment with God, you need to put one in your daily plan. Okay, now you've set your appointment. You've chosen the time, you've chosen the place, and the duration of your quiet time. But just what do you do with your meeting with the Almighty? Often, it's best to be still so that you can settle your heart and your mind and just think about God. Simply thinking about Him for a moment or two. Our time with Him needs to be well-rounded and balanced and scoped. And so, if you have your bulletins with you, Emma did a great job of getting this little timepiece into the calendar. This little timepiece, I give credit to Don DeWelt for. He used this circle of prayer, and he taught about it. The diagram, many have found useful. You'll notice it includes both speaking to God in prayer and listening to God speak to us through His Word. If you'll remember at the beginning, I said that God and prayer are inseparable. You can start with praise for God, praise to God, confession of your sin. You can sing a prayer to God. Read the Word to God. Read the Word for yourself. Some time in thanksgiving. Your petitions or your requests. Your intercession for others. Meditation. Listening. And then praising God in song. We need to take time, don't you think? Take time to read, meditate on, memorize, and pray over Scripture in our time with God. Like any good appointment or conversation, our meeting with God is a two-way street. That includes us speaking to Him and also listening to Him speak to us. You will notice in this prayer circle, the hour of prayer as he calls it, there's praise, adoration, and thanksgiving. And they're balanced with our confession, our petitions, and requests, intercession. I'll leave the singing up to you. So many of the songs, praise songs, and the great hymns of the church are wonderful prayers. Schedule it. Make time for it in your place for a sweet hour of prayer. In your time alone with God, I'd suggest that you pray out loud. This may be rather intimidating at first, but it's very helpful. Besides, it's just you and God. Vocal prayer is important because it causes the prayer to listen more carefully to your own petition. Vocal prayer also encourages the person praying to treat Christ, as Don said in his communion meditation, as an actual person. Someone who is right there in the room with you. Use simple words. speaking to him in the language you use every day. Telling him anything, anything that's on your mind. Talk to God in prayer of all your weaknesses, your wants, even your weariness that you may feel in serving him. You cannot speak too freely or too truthfully to him. There's no special language for prayer. The Lord even warned us against pious-sounding phrases, flowery language, and meaningless repetition in Matthew 6, verses 7 and 8. God prefers simplicity. Praying orally will help you think through what you are praying as you articulate it. Another thing you need to do is to be direct and honest. Being direct and honest with God in your prayers. You may as well be honest with Him. He already knows what you're thinking. He knows exactly what's in our hearts and minds. I wonder how true this little poem might be for some of us. I often say prayers. Do I really pray? Do the wishes of my heart go with the words I say? I may as well kneel down and worship gods of stone as offer to the living God a prayer of words alone. For words without the heart the Lord will never hear, nor will He to those lips attend whose prayer is not sincere. Lord, show me what I need and teach me how to pray, and help me when I seek Thy grace to mean the words I say. Is our heart right with God? Is our hearts right with God when we approach Him in prayer? As I said in the beginning, I hope this sermon will inspire you to use your time more effectively. Schedule your appointments with God. Just do it. Let me close with this. Scientists worked for years to uncover a single truth. Thomas Edison performed 10,000 different experiments on a storage battery before a working model was produced. They say the inventor sometimes slept only 2 hours a night. Jonas Salk struggled in a lab for years before discovering a vaccine for polio. Many Christians expect to know Christ intimately without even spending much time with Him. They fail to realize our relationship with God is much like our relationship with people here on earth. A husband will not really know his wife if he never talks to her. A child cannot know his father intimately if dad leaves for work before the child wakes up and returns long after the child is asleep. It takes time. It takes time to know a person. The more time you spend with the person, the more you get to know him. And that's true of our time that we spend with God. Our level of intimacy is determined by the time we spend in His presence. Let's make a habit. Make a habit of giving much time to this matter of prayer. Your life will be much more enjoyable and meaningful. Time began with the creation of the heavens and the earth, and will end with the removal of that which was created. It's about time we made the most of our time. The praise team's going to come forward and Can you guess what our song of invitation is going to be in His time? If you want to look it up in the red book, it's number 465. I think we have it on the slides here if I turn it off. But I haven't turned it off yet. You know, I don't know what each of your prayer lives is like. I don't know if you're struggling in your relationship with God. I do know that the more time you spend with God, you'll discover a desire to extend your prayer time, your appointment with God. And as you grow in your relationship with Him, you'll discover that your spirit hungers for His Word. Please stand as we sing in His time.
In His time,
seated. Before Daryl comes up here, this is the part that's hard for me. Because it's here where I tell you it's time for me to practice what I preach. I believe in God's Word. I believe in it totally. If you have your Bibles, please open them to 1 Timothy, chapter 5. In 1 Timothy, chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Give the people these instructions too, so that no one may be open to blame. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." I cannot deny the faith. Therefore, I'm asking for your prayers. Lori's mom and dad, their health is failing them. And so we've made a decision to sell our house here and move to Spokane to take care of them. What's even harder about this is that they're not Christians. So I'm leaving a family here that I love and care for to take care of our immediate family. First Timothy 5, verses 3 and 4 also says, "Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing to God. I've been privileged to serve here as an elder, song leader. We're going to miss you, although we do have family in this area, so I'm sure we'll be back to see you more. Maybe even more if you want to see me. So again, I just ask for your prayers at this time for us. We put our house on the market last week, and we had an offer by the end of the week, so things are moving quickly. So it's time over to Darrell now.
Thank you, Brother. A elder who has served well would ask that you be, as he said, in prayer about this. We have some pews to fill, and the praise team, their leader, is now Dean Transfer here, and that's a big prayer, and the position of an eldership to fill that should be in your prayer, that men in the congregation rise to that. God is giving, by this, an opportunity for all of us to step up to the plate and to test our Christianity, and God works that way. And you never know how he's going to work in the lives of you until you decide to give your time back to him and allow him to work. We welcome all our visitors with us today. There's a few that have stopped through. You're welcome to stay after service and get to know us a little better, or whatever you need to do. We're glad that you were here with us today. Tomorrow night we have an activity. The youth ministry is inviting the congregation to come out and play ball, softball with us. It's not just for the youth, so all those who would like to come and join us are welcome to come and join us tomorrow night at 6:30 here at the building. There will be some snacks and refreshments and that kind of things as well, so we welcome you tomorrow. This week, Wednesday, the Kids Club will be back at 6 o'clock for a week. Kids Club has been starting at 6 o'clock. For those, I think it's fifth grade on down, and I'm told that the children need to dress in their favorite sports team, whether it be shirt, t-shirt, hat, whatever. We're going to have some activities starting at 6 this week. We do have Clear Lake Christian Camp, the junior week, starting next Sunday, and I'll be with a few of our adults here taking up a group of young people to Clear Lake for a week. And I will be calling all the participants who have turned in their forms and arranging for the rides for that. And so I'll take care of your transportation. I'll give you a call. If I don't give you a call by Wednesday, you know you need to give me a call because somehow I messed up. But I'll try to call everybody by Wednesday and confirm where you'll be going with your transportation. Next week, we got lots of food going on. Next week, we have a potluck inviting the newlyweds back, and you're welcome to participate with that and their family. Also, in 2 weeks, there's a couple of things happening. It is our fifth Sunday, Sinkspiration. It's going to be more of a prayer time out at Cedar Ridge for some people from the church there going. And they're going to incorporate a singing and prayer time to send some people to Africa on mission so we can join our sister churches. And that's on the 31st. We also have, right after the service here at Glen Acres on the 31st, a reception. We haven't had an opportunity to do that yet to honor Bobby and Kira Dunn, who got married back a few weeks ago. And we're going to have a cake reception type thing here. If you didn't get a chance to participate in the reception for Bobby and Kira, please be here on the 31st, right after services, and we'll do a celebration with them. They're going to be here. Bobby and Kira are also moving up to Everett, and I don't know how much we'll get to see them in the future as they're moving up that direction. It's a great time to honor them. One of the greatest excitements that we can have this morning is to welcome a couple of brothers and a sister into the family. This last Wednesday, we had three baptisms. And did the young men come in from the back? Oh, yeah. Why don't you two stand up? Come on up here so they can see you. This is Gregory and Jose.
Gregory Maltzberger here. Paul Ted Martinez here. And they're new brothers. Welcome back. I want to give them from all five.
So that's always exciting to see that. We hope to see a few more members in the next month or two. I know I'm working with a couple and their family, and it's neat to see them come to know Jesus as their Savior. Let's close with a word of prayer. Got everything on my list. And then we'll have one song to close us. Father, we come before you today. We give you praise and thanks for your victory in the lives of Clara and Jose and Gregory. Thank you for allowing us to have an opportunity to come to before you to become your children. Father, it's exciting to know that you care so much for us, that you've given us a way to be redeemed through your Son, Jesus. And Father, as Brother Bob pointed out so well today, help us to find that time, to make the time, to give it back to you. Help us in our commitment as disciples, as we move forward in our lives to serve you, that you will give us the strength to do the right thing. Father, this morning we ask that you be with Bob and his family, that you'll bless their decision to take care of their family. Father, we ask you to be at the church. You've opened the door of challenges for the people here to step up to the plate and to show you what this salvation means in their lives. Because, Father, when we are baptized into Christ, we have made you both Lord and Savior. And it's easy to accept the Savior, but it's often hard for us to accept you being Lord and what that means in our lives. Help us to, as a congregation, to continue to seek the right things to be disciples of yours. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had today, the time to share.